Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Our new dog is gone stir crazy. I love winter. I like the cold. But we're in this deep freeze in my part of New Jersey, and I know there are many people around the country who are feeling the same thing. But we're talking extreme cold weather to the point where it's not really safe to walk the dog for very long or really for people to be outside for too long. I don't like to breathe the extreme cold because it's not great for my vocal cords. Me, 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 me. You know. Oh, actually, I feel like I have a bit of a weird stuffy something going on. I'm not sure why. Whatever the reason. I guess it just makes my voice sound a little more nasally. Anyway, so because we've got temps that are mostly in the single digits and below zero with the wind chills, during the daytime, it's not been safe to walk the dog. And she gets cold even just going outside to run around in the backyard for a couple of minutes in the snow. Her feet get cold. Daisy is a purebred mini Aussie, so she's got a very thick coat. So funny. She never had a coat this thick in Texas. Anyway, Flower has decided if we're not going to walk her, because she loves to walk, like I said, I don't think it's a good idea. I'm nervous about her being outside for too long because she doesn't have a long coat. She's got short, wiry hair, more like we think the Belgian Malinois side of her. Anyway, she has gone nutso. I brought home a couple toys on Wednesday morning because I stopped at the store and we're trying to find the right toys for her. She's fairly destructive. And I brought home a rope toy, a tug-of-war rope toy with a ball on the end, a tennis ball on the end. Within 10 minutes, the dog had chewed the cover off the tennis ball and was busy destroying the ball itself, although she and Daisy did play tug-of-war for a little bit, so that didn't last. And then I brought home a large, I'm trying to think how I would describe it. It's a pig. It's a rubber pig full of air. But anytime the dog clamps down on it with her teeth, it makes an obnoxious pig sound. It's so loud. I'm going to have to bring it to the next show so that you can hear obnoxious purple pig sound. So then she decided she would play with that for the first half hour after my husband was awake and I was home. And so he finally took that away because I was trying to go to bed. So this is her latest thing. She's chewing up her blankets from her crate and that the blankets that she sleeps on. So we're sitting at the kitchen table on Wednesday evening. We're talking with a friend and all of a sudden I hear ripping. The dog, she's gone nuts. She's into her crate. She's grabbed out a blanket that she sleeps on and she's just ripping it just for the heck of it. Just ripping the blanket in half. We took that blanket away from her. I had to excuse myself from the table a couple times. Sorry, 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 the dog. And so I grab the blanket away from her. Then she gets the zoomies and she is running as fast as she can. Now, our house is not big. It's only 1,300 square feet and that includes two stories. So on the bottom level, it's hardwood floors. The dog is running back and forth as fast as she can from one end of the living room to the other end of the hallway and then back. But she's sliding like an idiot because she's got her nails that obviously don't work on the hardwood floors. And so she's skittering back and forth. Oh my gosh, we've got to get this dog out to walk because she is about to lose her mind. I thought I was getting a little winter stir crazy. Oh no, nothing compared to Flower, who needs to be outside with the flowers so she can run all this energy out. Whew. I don't bring her to work. Make her stay up all night. Make her listen to me talk all night long. So that way she doesn't have any energy during the daytime. And while I'm sleeping during the daytime, my husband says that she often paces back and forth. She doesn't like the fact that she has to stay downstairs and can't come upstairs with me. But that's kind of the point. I can imagine her having zoomies around the bed and me not getting any sleep. Oh, so Flower's gone stir crazy. Here on After Hours, we're a little stir crazy too. We've got a couple days left until the championship Sunday dawns. Oh, with just 3 games left in the NFL season. I can't believe that. 3 games left in the NFL season, 13 shows left until Super Bowl Sunday night. That's it, Producer Pete. What does that mean to you? After 6 months of nonstop football with this sport and this league running our lives, oh, I won't speak for you, running my life and my schedule, 13 shows left until the Super Bowl.
It'll go fast. It will.
Really?
Yes.
Doesn't feel like it. It feels like it's kind of going slow.
I think it will. It'll start picking up. I have a feeling.
No, unfortunately, Producer Pete, I say that unfortunately for me. I don't think unfortunately for him. Producer Pete will not be working with us on Super Bowl Sunday night or the week before because he's really important. He has other responsibilities that he apparently deems more important than our show, which is unfortunate. Carlos, what do you think about that? Producer Pete has decided that his administrative duties are more important than producing the show.
Oh, I think what a dereliction of duty here.
Thank you, Carlos.
The priorities of some people.
Right?
Thanks, Carlos.
Thank you. I do need that validation. But that's kind of how I feel, Pete. You're dumping us so that you can work on, what are you working on that week?
I will be one of the bosses who will instead go to the Super Bowl.
He's going to be one of the bosses, Carlos. That's the whole point. He wants to boss people around.
Oh, I want to amend my previous statement because he is one of my bosses. So Pete's doing a very important thing here at the network.
Huh. Well, since he doesn't get to boss me around, because I don't really listen to anyone, he doesn't get to boss me around. I guess he prefers working. Actually, I know what it is. He prefers working during the daytime as opposed to working the overnight hours. Wait, what's going to happen, though, with your whole schedule with the kids when you're working during the daytime?
Well, we've figured out the first 3 days. The last 2 days are the question right now, but I will figure out a solution.
Now, you're
dumping
us. I got it.
Yes.
So what about Super Bowl Sunday night, though? Why are you not back on?
Yeah.
Because I know all the managers are not staying for Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
They're back from New Orleans. So why are you unavailable to rejoin us for Super Bowl Sunday night?
We're still working out the kinks in the back end of the schedule, so we'll see.
I feel very jilted. I feel as though my producer has more important things to do.
My apologies.
Oh, uh-huh. You know I'm going to give you a hard time between now and then.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Every second.
We got dumped. Just, I mean, here I was thinking, oh, the new producer, it's our first Super Bowl week together. We're going to have so much fun. It's going to be great. We're going to create a new vibe for Super Bowl week, especially since I'm not going to New Orleans. And instead, Pete's like, peace out. I got better things to do. Peace out, Cub Scout. I got better things to do. All right. Well, Ryan and I will somehow manage to hold down the fort. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, but I may complain about it between now and then. Actually, I really like working with Ryan. He does a good job, but now that I'm kind of wrapping my brain around the fact that Pete has more important things on his schedule and on his plate. Ouch. Don't. You can find us online at A-Law Radio. See where I am in the food chain? I'm not on the food chain. And you can also find us on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I did go back and answer a few of your questions from Ask Amy. I didn't get to a lot of them. It was kind of a busy afternoon and evening. I won't bore you with the details. So I didn't get to all of them, but I did get to a lot of them. And I'll try to finish up over the course of the show as we have some breaks here and there. But you can always go back and check. I wish we had some fun, exciting new poll to put out there, but we really do not. Although, I suppose we could put 4 names into a poll and ask who should be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys. This is becoming my new favorite off-season comedy. I don't know what you're doing down there, Jerry Jones. I have no idea what's happening, why you thought that you could get away with this hiring practice. Unless, of course, your entire goal is to get Deion Sanders, in which case I'll laugh even harder. I think Deion is a good coach for where he is, and I think he's got the right methods to his madness. For where he is, I don't know if that flies in the NFL. And I think it will be a major step back from Mike McCarthy unless they get, say, a Pete Carroll. I'm fascinated by what's happening in Dallas. It seems like a day late, a dollar short. But we don't have any real news to come out of Dallas, which is part of the equation. We do have news to come out of places like New York, where Aaron Glenn is, in fact, the next head coach of the Jets. A little bit fascinated by this process, too. Producer Pete, correct me if I'm wrong. Their last three coaches have been defensive coordinators who then moved to first-time head coaches. Todd Bowles, who was a D coordinator, who then became the head coach for the Jets. Am I missing someone after him?
There was Adam Gase.
Oh, Adam Gase. He was an O coordinator, but he was also the head coach in Miami, right?
Yeah, apparently.
But then, okay, so three of their last four. Then Robert Saleh, or am I missing someone?
No, that's right.
Then Robert Saleh, who comes from the defensive coordinator job in San Francisco. Now, after firing him week five of the NFL season, they decide they're going to upgrade to another first-time head coach who comes from a defensive coordinator position in Detroit. I'm not saying Aaron Glenn didn't do a terrific job. I'm not saying that Aaron Glenn won't make a great head coach. We don't know that yet. Although his mentor is Bill Parcells. Parcells was his coach when he was a Jet. And if I remember correctly, he was also on Parcells' coaching staff. So Aaron Glenn has the Parcells pedigree, which could very well make a huge difference. But it's interesting that the Jets have chosen to go this way and continue to use the same pattern, three out of their last four head coaches. Now, Rex Ryan was there longer, but wasn't he a defensive coordinator as well?
Yes.
So, there you go. Eric Mangini was... Eric was offensive coordinator. Wait, was Eric... Yeah, Eric was offense with the Patriots. So, they've gone coordinators who are first-time head coaches in many of these cases.
All the cases, except for Gase.
Right, so I don't really know... Not a knock on Aaron Glenn. I don't really know what the thought process is here, other than the Johnson brothers, Woody and Christopher Johnson, wanting someone that they believe is not only familiar to the Jets, loyal to the Jets, and maybe going all the way back to Parcells. Now, Rex Ryan led them to a couple AFC championship games, but maybe going back to Parcells, the last heyday of the Jets, although he wasn't there that long either.
Well, yeah, Parcells got out of there when ownership changed, pretty much.
So the thought process apparently is we're going to keep trying brand new first-time head coaches until we come up with one that works. But we like this because Aaron Glenn used to be a Jet. And to be fair, Aaron has made it clear he wants to be in New York. He has said that. Maybe that's part of the deal, is we want someone who wants to be here, understands the culture, is interested in our franchise and making it better, getting it to the next level.
It's similar to the Cowboys in that this job needed to have somebody that wanted to be here, that wanted to be fully invested. That's why Rex Ryan was, a prime candidate initially, because he wanted to be here. And I think in Dallas, you need someone similar. Someone that knows the culture, knows Jerry Jones, knows the whole thing. Because Woody Johnson is, if you believe that article in The Athletic about him, he's very, I don't want to say demanding, but very very into what's going on in the organization and the football operations.
Tuned in, he's tuned in.
Very tuned in. So you need somebody either that had experience or somebody that is... like Aaron Glenn, a former Jet.
Has experience with the Jets.
So, right, experience with the Jets. I personally would have went with someone with coaching experience. I would have went with a Brian Flores, and I would have went with a Thomas Dimitroff in the front office because I think they needed that experience. But this is the other way.
And Aaron could very well be the guy who ends the cycle of the revolving door of coaches. He was, again, part of a very successful and quick rebuild in Detroit. With Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson, who got introduced earlier today with the Chicago Bears, and now Campbell loses his other coordinator as he heads to the Jets. It could end up being a perfect match, a match made in heaven. We don't know the terms yet, but what we're hearing from Adam Schefter is a 5-year deal, which means they're giving him some longevity as well. The Jets still haven't hired a GM. And this is a part where I wonder, okay, is this putting the cart before the horse, if you will? Because a lot of times, your GM and your head coach, if they don't come in together as a team, like San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, then usually it's the guy who's higher up the food chain who gets hired first. So he has input in the kind of coach that he wants. Now, in the case of the Johnson brothers, and you just mentioned Christopher, he's very much involved in every level of the Jets hierarchy and the Jets leadership, which means that he may believe he can pick coach first, then get a general manager that matches the philosophy. It's just a lot of times you hear in the NFL, that doesn't work. We'll talk more about what's going on in Jacksonville. But as the owner has figured out, remember, Doug Peterson got fired. They kept Trent Baalke as the GM. But as they've gone through this process of trying to find a head coach, the reports out there are that some of the coaching candidates, including Liam Cohen, who turned down the job to stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what they're hearing, again, this is the reports out there, the feedback from some of these coaching candidates is maybe not as harsh as I don't want to work with Baalke, but we're not on the same page with Trent Baalke. And, you know, he's had a couple of issues with head coaches. Jim Harbaugh, that was a bad split in San Francisco. Also, the Doug Peterson situation, too. So now they fire the GM. They're still trying to hire a head coach. And a lot of times, if the two are not in sync, it creates a major disconnect. So the Jets still don't have a GM, but they now believe they've got their head coach. And I hope, for Aaron Glenn's sake, for the Jets' sake, this works out with more longevity and more staying power, more stick-to-itiveness, more commitment, more patience with Aaron Glenn than it has with the previous defensive coordinators who were not head coaches before they got to New York. So it's interesting, too, the formula that is repeating itself.
Well,
and P.S., they still don't have a quarterback.
Right. Well, that's the next debate, if Rodgers is going to be a part of this now. There's speculation that Rodgers is going to be a part of this.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I think is a big mistake.
It's just got... You know, the urban definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Right.
That sounds a little bit like what the Jets are doing right now.
But that
hamster wheel, baby.
Right. That reversed way of thinking in terms of hiring the head coach and then bringing in the GM that works with the coach is a system I'll never agree with, but it's starting to pop up a little more than usual. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, contracts don't always match up. For instance, we've had multiple boss changes here in the last 5 years. We're now on to our third program director is what they're called here. Not quite a GM, but similar. And yeah, it's tough. It's tough to not only acclimate to a new voice, but also that person comes in and has different ideas about how the business and the network should be run. And we don't always agree. And there have been some situations where that disconnect causes people to go elsewhere. So, yeah, it's tough when you hire a boss, but you hire him after you hire the people that are going to be reporting to him. Not impossible, but I hope Aaron Glenn's part of that. At A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we're glad to have you with us. We're going to pull on high tops and run full court. Another banner night for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who may be angling toward MVP. And then in addition to that, the Celtics and Clippers go into overtime, and something is horribly wrong with the Warriors. It's been this way for quite a while now, but I think they haven't hit rock bottom yet. That's where they're headed. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope that you survived your hump day. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Shai between the rings, played by Markkanen. Slashing right, crosses over left. Elevates, fires, fadeaway, 16-foot jumper, rips the cords. Shai's got 50. First ever 50-point game, christening the Jazz tonight. 119-110 Thunder with 120 to play. Headed to the MVP this season, you bet. Dante George to inbound near sideline. Looking, lobs to Kessler top of the key, handing to Sexton. Ball free in the lane, knocked away by Shai. Caruso's got it. Shai's in the open court, takes it home with a two-hand dunk. Good night, Jazz. Finishing touches administered by number two, baby. 121-110. Number two, another deuce, giving 52 in the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had to play most of the game against the Utah Jazz. Even though the Jazz are currently 10-32 versus the Thunder, who have one of the best records in the NBA. And so 37 minutes for SGA. He didn't shoot great from deep. He was only 3 of 10 from beyond the arc, but he made 17 field goals. And he can slash to the basket. He's got the mid-range game. Also 17 of 18 from the free throw line.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
54 points, a career high 54. Are you ready for the rest of his stat line? 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 block shots, and yes, the partridge in a pear tree. The call's there on the Thunder Radio Network with Matt Pinto. And so as the Thunder move to 20-2 in their own arena, and I know this is a raucous atmosphere. I've got friends, of course, having spent 4 years in Oklahoma, I remember when they were desperate for their own NBA team. And I've got friends who routinely go to the games and love the atmosphere. The players will rave about it. It's loud. It's a decided home court advantage. Shai's talked about how great it is to play in front of the home fans. And on FanDuel Sports Network after the game, yeah, not so concerned about the career high 54.
Just try to be aggressive, try to make the right basketball play, and then from there, just trust the work. No different from any other night. Had a few more points tonight, but nothing special.
kind of different from any other night. I do love how he deflects and how humble he is. The two Jalen Williamses combined for 28 points, though. One of them had 25, the other one had 3. You can figure out which one. This really was a night for Shea and another display for the wide array of shots that he can use. He's got a skill set that isn't limited. It's not about, hey, he can always go right, or he always shoots from this particular range or this particular spot. Nah, he can hurt you all over the court. And the Thunder enjoy being aggressive. They enjoy driving to the hoop. They enjoy getting into the paint and trying to come up with high percentage shots. And also, when they're playing really well, they take care of the basketball. So on this particular night against the Jazz, how about this stat line? This is crazy. 27 turnovers by the Jazz, 11 for the Thunder. And this is with them forcing the issue and pushing the tempo. 39 of the Thunder points coming off of those Utah turnovers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Celtics on a West Coast swing where they're playing Clippers and Lakers back to back, and they had a double figure lead in this one. In fact, it was still 7 points in the fourth quarter.
White's going to throw it in. 103-101 Boston on the near side with 12.7 to play. Finds Brown, near corner, double team with 10 seconds, dribbles, spins, shuffle the feet, Derrick Jones Jr. the steal, Clippers into the front court, Derrick to the rim, the layup for the tie, up and in with 4.2 to play. Timeout Boston, we're tied at 103.
On the Clippers radio network, Derrick Jones with 2 of his career high 29 in this one. And while the Clippers were able to come back from down 7 in the fourth quarter, they force it into overtime. And the Celtics have a little experience in these pressure situations.
Cornette, handoff for Jaylen Brown. Return to Cornette in the paint. Diagonal kick out. Good look for Derrick White. It's 3.
Great pass then from Luke.
Derrick White now has 13 points in the fourth quarter in overtime. 106-103, Celtics strike first. Cornette pushes back to Tatum. Tatum against Kobe Brown, turns him around, pull up 3, got it!
Big time, big time.
Back-to-back threes by White and Tatum to begin the overtime. 109-103, handoff back to Tatum. Got Kobe Brown in front of him, 7 on the shot clock. Tatum at the elbow. Push pass back out to Jaylen Brown. Pump fake. Now takes the 3 and makes it. Timeout. Ty Lue. White. Tatum. Brown. All from downtown. And the Celtics have their largest lead of the night in overtime. Derrick White. Now for Tatum. 8 on the shot clock. 14 on the game clock. Boston by 2. Trying to end this thing again. They thought they had twice already. Derrick White enters to Kata. Kata reverses it up and in with 6.4 to go.
Wow.
The calls with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell. Grandy and Max on Celtics radio. And Grandy actually sent me a photo from where he was sitting to do the call of this game. In the Clippers' new arena, not only are you up as an announcer, up high as a radio announcer, but you're way back. And so he said, he made some kind of a joke when he sent me the picture, just I can't really see what's happening out there on the court. More and more NBA teams are pushing their radio announcers off the court because not only do they want to be able to sell those seats, they can make hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars on the courtside seats where the radio used to be. TV gets a little more of a prominent position, but even local TV will get pushed up into the second level or a concourse in order to make room for some of the ticket holders who will pay top dollar, but also national TV. If national TV comes in, a lot of times local does boot. So yeah, I told him he could kind of make up any game that he wanted. But it is true that the Celtics were able to hit a bunch of threes in overtime and outscore the Clippers and grab that win. So it's Clippers tonight and Lakers coming up tomorrow night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are always excited to talk some hoops. We had talked a little bit about Caitlin Clark's birthday and the fact that Wednesday was her 23rd B-Day. And the Indiana Fever, they were trying to celebrate it. You know, they're in the off season, of course. And we were talking about this interview done with her player development coach with the Fever who was using the D word, were working so that she can destroy anyone and anything that comes at her this coming season in the WNBA. But the Fever posted a video of one of her workouts today. And it's not one of those doctored videos where you can't see the ball from the time it leaves her hand to the time it leaves, it goes through the hoop. No, it's an actual video from half court or wherever, watching her shoot. She took 54 threes and made 50 of them. It was really impressive, but also pretty insane. But I'm thinking, if that's how you celebrate your birthday, that's pretty sweet. So then she walks off the court after her workout. So it's a solo workout. They're not working as a team right now. But these, you know, a lot of players are doing solo stuff and working with skills or development coaches. And so she walks off the court and they surprise her. A couple of the coaches and some of the staff members surprise her with a birthday cake and they sing happy birthday to her. So they got that all on camera as well. So she's just real gracious and fun and doesn't take herself too seriously and kind of self-deprecating. So neat to see her and what she's working on and also that she still got it. Now, these were shots without any defense, but boy, were they pretty. 50 of 54. Also, on my birthday, I tend to eat more cake and other types of sweets, not work out really hard like that. We'll get to Mike in Nevada. Your phone call, 855-212-4227. And coming up, this show, I have a really unique interview or conversation to share with you. I'm not exactly sure how to describe Dr. Fred Johnson, but I know you're going to love hearing what he has to say about NFL locker rooms and what has grown into a fairly extensive job for him. Now, Dr. Fred Johnson, if you Google him, he is in leadership development. So he's done extensive postdoctorate work in leadership development. He's got TED Talks. He's got books. And he normally, or I guess I should say, his main focus is to work with Fortune 100, Fortune 500, Fortune 100. Which one is it? 500. You can tell that's not my experience. Our company's not a Fortune 500. We're probably a Fortune 50. So he works with big corporations, prosperous corporations, and he develops leadership skills and communication skills and helps them to develop culture. Now, what do we hear about in the NFL all the time? Culture, winning culture. What does winning culture look like? Well, it was, I guess, I don't even know how long ago, a couple of decades ago, maybe, where he sat on a plane next to someone from an NFL scouting department. I'm going to let you hear the story from him. And it turned into a whole different area of work for him, where he is now working extensively with NFL locker rooms to help them develop leadership and communication and accountability. And ultimately, the goal is to foster winning culture. It's fascinating because it's very ethereal, right? It's not something that you can X and O, but he's got examples and wait till you hear them of ways that it's working and teams with whom he is working. Marco, you're making an interesting face. I'm telling you, I talked to him this afternoon and I was fascinated. I was kind of in the dark. I didn't really know what questions to ask. So I just asked questions that I, you know, that made me curious, and it's really interesting to hear from him about the kind of work he does behind the scenes. And also, where do you start in an NFL locker room and in a culture that can be obviously very, well, I don't want to say toxic. That's not right. Sometimes, I guess, but it can be drama. It can be mistrust. It can be a lot of alpha males. Mm-hmm. It can be a lot of competition. How do you cut through that and get these people to work with you?
100%, and it's very interesting. I'm just, the reason why I was making the face is because I feel like that has to come from your coaching, not from the outside. I wonder if it comes from the outside, does that also set up another way to have a divide with everybody else? So that's a weird dynamic, because that is hard as hell to get that many adults who have their own agendas in a business. Never mind in the idea that Well, it's a, wherever it works in a business, you have a common goal. You do, but you don't. This is different. I mean, a team sport, it's a different common goal. And you need to work together. Otherwise, none of you get to the goal.
Right.
That's a weird dynamic.
You're going to have to listen to this conversation.
I'm interested.
It's really interesting. And I asked him tough questions, too, again, because I didn't really know much about it. He was presented to me as a potential guest by a communications firm. And I understandably was skeptical like you, but hearing him and also knowing his bio, I mean, like I said, TED Talks, he's got books, he's a world-renowned speaker, mostly to corporations, but in this latter stage of his career, he has started working more and more with sports teams. And in the NFL, he's got, again, concrete examples of ways that this is playing out behind the scenes. And I did ask him, how do you do it? And he explained exactly how he goes about it. It's pretty impressive. So you can get it on podcast. I know you may not still be here at the time, but you guys are going to love this conversation. At the very least, you're going to be completely fascinated by the process to know this is happening in some NFL locker rooms and facilities. That's coming up in our third hour at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Still a few days away from Championship Sunday, and of course the Chiefs and the Bills, with Patrick Mahomes getting set to battle once again with Josh Allen.
You just have to know you're going to have to play your best football. I mean, I've played against Josh enough times to know that he's going to come out there and play great football, especially in those big moments. And so, for me, I have to play my best football whenever I get the opportunity to, and try to put our team in the best position to succeed. And if that's limiting turnover, if that's changing the field position, whatever that is, you have to find a way that day to win. And when you go up against a great quarterback, it takes your best as well.
Flip side, Allen's just trying to focus on the minor details to try to dethrone the two-time champs.
One, have a good week of practice, making sure that what we're putting into the game plan, guys are understanding it and going out there and practicing hard. And then when we get on the field on Sunday, just trusting in the game plan, trusting in each other, and have fun playing the game.
Well, the last time the Jets were in the playoffs, they were in the AFC Championship game. Unfortunately for them, it was 2010. Now Aaron Glenn is going to try to snap the postseason drought as he was named the new head coach for Gangrene, a former first-round pick and an all-pro corner for the Jets. He spent the last 4 years in charge of the Lions' defense. Jaguars still in search for a new head coach as Liam Cohen has pulled his name from consideration. He returns to the Bucs as offensive coordinator. Now the Jaguars also need to find a new GM. They've parted ways with Trent Baalke, despite initially keeping him on after they fired Doug Peterson. NBA, the Thunder erased the Jazz 123-114 as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander poured 54. Celtics outlast the Clippers 117-113 in overtime. Jaylen Brown 25, Jason Tatum 24. Rockets upend the Cavs 109-108. Kings outscored the Warriors 123-117. Domantas Sabonis 26 points, 18 rebounds. T-Wolves withstood the Mavericks 115-114. Grizzlies roll the Hornets 132-120. Suns all over the Nets 108-84. Devin Booker 32 and the Pistons down the Hawks 114-104. Heat planning to suspend Jimmy Butler two more games for missing a team flight. If you're wondering, the trade deadline is coming up on February 6th. In college hoops, Florida held off South Carolina 70-69. Houston all over Utah 70-36. Kansas erased TCU 74-61. And Texas A&M clipped Ole Miss 63-62. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call. 855-212-4227.
Possession game. Inbounds pass, DeRozan. DeRozan yet to put it on the floor. Goes to the baseline, pulls up, got the two ball to fall. 32 points for DeRozan. It's 113-111. This whole late third quarter and fourth quarter has been nothing but one run after another by these teams. Box open, 22-footer. He scores the field goal. Kings go on top by six. It's a 10-0 Sacramento run. Kerr and the Warriors call timeout with 1:07 left to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Gary Gerald, the legendary announcer, play-by-play for years for the Sacramento Kings, who are on quite a tear right now. They've won 10 of their last 11, and that includes a rally past the Warriors, trailing by 18 points in this one. But I was listening to it, and whether it was Kings or Warriors play-by-play, I kind of went back and forth. Both networks were exclaiming about how this was such a seesaw affair. The Warriors put together a 10-0 run. Then the Kings would score 10 points in a row. Then the Warriors would respond with 9 in a row. And then the Kings ultimately were able to reel them in and win this one, keep their hot streak alive against a team for whom many years they've been kind of the forgotten little brother. But that is not the case anymore, and the Warriors are a mess. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you with us. So, Producer Pete, I listened to the Steph Curry postgame. That was okay. Steve Kerr sounds like he's underwater, so I don't know where that came from.
Maybe underwater.
Maybe underwater, right. Maybe he was drowning, kind of like the Warriors are drowning. I don't mind if you want to use the Steph Curry, but the Steve Kerr, I didn't. It was too much.
Okay.
We just had a couple of careless possessions in the third quarter. We played extremely... We executed extremely well most of the game. Obviously, they were throwing a lot at me, and we were able to get the ball moving, get open looks, and then you just have to stay as disciplined as possible. If teams are going to play jump defenses and, you know, send traps and double teams, like, I'm going to get off of it. We just got to be able to be sound, make simple plays. It's tempting sometimes to get a little sped up. You gotta credit them. They had athleticism all over the floor. You could tell that they had a good halftime talk and knew how they were gonna try to get back in the game, and it worked.
So Steph Curry was actually held to just 14 points. He had a dozen assists, though. And you hear him talking about the fact that he was getting double teams and creative defenses from the Kings. And it worked in limiting his shots and limiting his scoring, though he did have the dozen assists. But DeMar DeRozan with 32 in this one. He was lights out down the stretch, really taking the lead. Domantas Sabonis had a double-double, 26 and 18. And yeah, the Kings able to reel them back in. And the Warriors still under 500, kind of like Steve Kerr. Sounded as though he was underwater. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Also, our Facebook page. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday night. Man, we're getting closer to the weekend. Mike is listening in Nevada. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. I haven't talked to you for a year, so I have an extra couple seconds, please. I want to remind you how amazing you were during COVID. Like, you were like Miss America. Like, I listened to you every night, and we were going through that time, so I just want to remind you how amazing you were. Anyways, you played the Celtics game the last 10 seconds, and it was a two-point game. It was like 113, 111 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Celtics had the ball, and they threw it in. Jason Tatum threw a guy away right in front of the ref, and they didn't call the foul. He threw him out and then got the rebound or the inbound pass from down below. And the right in front of the ref. And I thought that was like bull honky. Right in front. No, please go back and look at it. I'm begging you. Please go back and look at it.
Bull honky.
Jason Tatum is a horrible person, and he threw him out of the way.
He's not a horrible person. It's a contact sport.
You have to go back and please go back.
Even if I do go back and look at it, Jason Tatum's not a horrible person. It's a contact sport. Sometimes this kind of stuff happens.
He threw him. Okay, anyways, but please go back and look. But I want to talk about Vegas, because last time I talked to you, you were coming here, and you were going to either hike in Lake Mead, and I said go to Red Rock.
We actually ended up doing Valley of Fire. We asked some locals what would be the better use of our time. So we were at the Hoover Dam, and we asked some people what would be the better use of our time, and it was either going to be Red Rock or Valley of Fire.
One more question. Don't hang up, please. I have one more question. So Hoover Dam's cool, right?
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's way beyond cool. Anyway, so to answer your question before that, we ended up going to Valley of Fire and hiking because Red Rock was going to be way too crowded.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyways, downtown Vegas, they have this place called Symphony Park. And a year before you got there, it was called the Music of John Williams, Star Wars, at Symphony Park. It was incredible. And right before you got there, they stopped it. I was so wishing you would have got to go there. I'm so sad.
Oh, and that's okay. It was a pretty crazy week.
We love you, Amy.
Thank you.
God, I wish you would have got... It was Symphony Park in Vegas. It's so cool. And
sounds neat. Right, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your call, Mike. Good to talk to you in Nevada. And I hope that we'll talk again before a year goes by. 855-212-4227 at A Law Radio. I will agree to disagree with Mike. I do not believe Jason Tatum is a horrible person. Basketball, every now and then, it does get kind of physical. Not as physical as it used to be. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.